Hey there, everybody. It is April the 6th, 2011. You, my friends, are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I am Ken.
And I'm Jody.
How are you, Jody?
I am well.
Is there something you would like to share with me, Jody?
Yes. Mercury just went back into retrograde again.
Jody, I don't know if you recall what happened last time that happened when you and I were co-hosting.
I do, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't go well.
Not really.
I was a little punchy.
You were.
That was the week that my mother resigned from the governorship of New Jersey. It was a week. It was a really crazy week. If you would like to learn more about that, please hop on over to thisshowissogay.com. Send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. We love to hear from you. Tons of news.
Cool.
It's funny. I said to you before the show, it doesn't feel like it was that long between last show and this show, mm-hmm. but it feels like it's been a long time since we've sat here together.
I think it has been.
Okay.
At least a month.
So Mercury, huh?
Yeah.
Very quick news story for you, and then we're going to get into some more hardcore news.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Cindy Jacobs?
Maybe.
She's a treat. She's a self-appointed prophet.
Okay.
Not sure if you talk about her in church on Sunday, if she comes up at all.
No, not really.
No, not so much.
No.
Well, she says that she was right when she blamed mass bird deaths on the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And further, she's also blaming the repeal for, as we all know, the Japanese earthquakes.
Oh.
And the tsunami. Uh-huh. Not just the earthquakes.
Uh-huh.
But the tsunami, too.
Oh.
Caused by the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Uh-huh.
Geologists be damned.
Wow.
Cindy Jacobs.
Huh.
Just want to put that out there.
Huh.
Well, our favorite thing to talk about.
Yes.
It's not even just with you and I. It's really just my favorite thing to talk about every week. I need to have some sort of intro sound effect for this of the apology of the week.
Oh, yes.
You got to come up with something.
It should be a segment.
A
regular segment.
I would like it to be the regular segment. So a junior at SMU, Southern Methodist University.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
He was chairman of the Texas College Republicans. He has resigned his post after a video was posted of him describing getting hammered, hooking up with a young woman, and calling political opponents a homosexual slur.
Mm.
Not good.
No.
His name is Charles McCaslin. He made the remarks in the form of an endorsement speech for Auburn University student Alex Shriver during... That's not an endorsement that you want.
No.
He did not endorse me for the Brattleboro Select Board, and I think I'm better for it.
Mm.
So he made all of these comments, and then his apology... So this is after he resigned.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I cannot continue my work for the party, the Republican Party, in this capacity. The mistakes I have made have put my colleagues, my friends, and school in harm's way. They do not deserve to be part of such a bitter cycle. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay so mm-hmm. far.
Okay.
He said before his resignation, in his apology, he said that this was not reflective of his true feelings towards these groups. Yeah. Well, okay.
Uh-huh.
I don't really know what to do with that.
I don't either.
It's not really much of an apology.
No.
And there was a lot. There was a lot about gay Republicans this week, and the log cabin folks are fighting with other folks. And there was an interesting poll question for this week. The question was, and it actually says this, it says Jody. It always is weird to me when it calls you out by name. Jody, some studies suggested about 30% of LGBT adults voted Republican in the 2010 elections. What's your view, Jody, on how the LGBT... Isn't it weird? I mean, if you're not named Jody, I had no inclination to take this poll.
But no.
What's your view, Jody, on how the LGBT community will vote in 2012? Here are your three choices.
Okay.
The percentage voting Republican will rise. The percentage voting Republican will fall. Or I'm not sure.
I think I'm not sure is really the answer I can give at this point. The messes that are going on in general. So there's, I think we've had some swinging both ways. I think we've had some disappointment on Democratic parts. I think we've had some anger on Republican parts. I think there's been a lot of backlash against Tea Partyism.
Yes.
Because it's been very negative what's been going on.
Little bit. Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
And I think I would be able to answer this better if I knew who the Republicans were running, perhaps.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, the poll respondents, all named Jody, were far more confident than perhaps you and I were. 74% said the percentage voting Republicans will fall. 14% said the percentage voting Republicans will rise. And 11% said, I'm not sure. Hmm. And I think that's really interesting how confident they were that the percentage voting Republican will fall, given much of what you said. I mean, yeah. This, people, we talked about it on the show quite a bit in the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. Gay community was pretty gosh darn frustrated with President Obama.
Yeah.
Whether that means they're going to then vote Republican, I guess that's the question.
I don't know.
They
if
might
that,
just not vote.
They might not vote, which is very bad.
Very bad.
Which is very bad. Yeah. Or what may happen is it may show up in more local elections and not the presidential. Right. It may be reflected more in the state congresses or the U.S. Congress. Yeah.
Well, in one of the weirdest ongoing stories, I just am fascinated by this. This is a University of Michigan student. His name is Chris Armstrong. We've actually talked about this on the show before, but it's unbelievable that it has gotten to this point. University of Michigan student government president Chris Armstrong, he has now filed a lawsuit against who? The former assistant state attorney general in Michigan, who allegedly was stalking him and made threats about the student on his blog. The first openly gay president of the student assembly, Armstrong, became a target for Andrew Chervell, who wrote about the student in a blog that has since been made private. So he made it private. Good job, attorney general. Assistant guy. Chervell wrote several inflammatory posts about Armstrong, calling him a Nazi. Let's back up. This is the former assistant state attorney general, who was the assistant state attorney general at the time,
right,
who was calling the 20, maybe 21-year-old University of Michigan student government president, calling him a Nazi and accusing him of promoting a satanic lifestyle and a radical homosexual agenda. Armstrong initially brushed off the taunts, which I don't know that I would be able to brush off the taunts
right.
from the assistant state attorney general. But Chervell, he's saying that Chervell then started to stalk him. It's crazy.
It is
the weirdest.
It's inconceivable
story
that this is even a real story.
He is seeking more than $25,000 in damages. He and his attorney are calling for Chervell to be disbarred, which I'm voting for.
I think I support that as well. He's been completely unprofessional.
A little bit. I just think there are other things that perhaps he could focus on right now other than, well, now he's got tons of time because he's the former one.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to play some music for you as requested by tonight's rather cool guest.
Excellent.
Right?
Rather cool guest. Yeah, I think so.
This is a song called Quicksand. Enjoy.
Position.
is in the quicksand.
Yep.
I feel that way today. So a number of youth stories.
Cool.
You love youth stories.
I do.
So we're going to do a little Jody barometer, whether these things are appropriate or not. Because some parents are not happy. Not happy. And they're almost all in California.
Okay.
So first, some parents are angry that their 7 and 8 year old children were taken on a field trip to the Castro, San Francisco's gay district, known for its historical importance as well as its racy stores and bars. The students were from San Francisco's private all-boys town school, and their guide, who specializes in kid-friendly tours, mapped out a route that avoided sex shops or stores with risque displays, so he did his homework.
Okay.
The boys were brought to a memorial that commemorated gay people killed in the Holocaust, an AIDS mural, an Office of the Human Rights Campaign, and Harvey Milk's camera shop. While many parents were fine with the trip, some kept their children home. One anonymous mother spoke to CBS 5 Eyewitness News out there in California and asked, quote, "Why would you talk to a young child about sex with a man and a woman, let alone a man and a man or a woman and a woman? It just doesn't seem right. They are not ready for that." Another parent told a newspaper it wasn't a gay issue. It just wouldn't be appropriate to take young children to the raucous San Francisco neighborhood of North Beach. Either. I don't know North Beach. So, avoided the sex shops.
Yeah.
Avoided the risque stores.
Yep.
They are 7 and 8 years old. Should they have gone to a memorial that commemorated gay people killed in the Holocaust, an AIDS mural, an Office of the Human Rights Campaign, and Harvey Milk's camera shop?
I think if this tour was about the history of where they live, that those places are very important,
and it
shows a full picture, especially if they were going to go and see other places as well. You should not hide the history of your city. It'd be like not showing the Holstein Building in Brattleboro because we're just not going to look at cows.
Does the Holstein Building have some sort of historical significance here in Brattleboro?
Well, a little bit. It's kind of a big deal.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's kind of a big deal. The building itself isn't all that interesting, but the fact that the Holstein Association is here in Brattleboro, and that's where all of the Holstein cows in the whole world are registered, that's where all their DNA information is, it's kind of a big deal. So if you're looking at the history of Brattleboro and you don't include cows in any way, shape, or form, just sort of omit it, thinking, oh no, cows are not appropriate. We won't talk about that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there a type of cow named a Holstein cow?
Yes.
Okay. And people know that.
They do, actually. In fact, it's probably the most well-known breed.
Of cows.
Of cows.
Yeah.
You know the black and white cows?
I do.
That's what they're called.
Huh. Holstein cows.
Holsteins. There are also red ones, but the black and white ones are the most common.
We are accepting emails at thisshowisogay@AOL.com. If perhaps, listeners of This Show Is So Gay, you did not know that the black and white cows are Holstein cows, send an email to theshowisogay@AOL.com. If you're thinking, wow, he's kind of an idiot, send an email to theshowisogay@AOL.com. Holstein cows.
Holstein cows.
Very gay cows.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anytime cows are portrayed in anything, it's usually a Holstein cow.
Huh.
Yeah, usually. Although there are some other black and white cows that are other breeds, the Holstein one is the most well-known.
Okay.
Yeah.
Am I going to find out later that you were making all
you
of this
You really
up?
Are not. If you wanted to call my wife and verify, although she's at rehearsal, but if you wanted to call her, she would say, oh yeah, she's totally right.
And she would make fun of me for not knowing that.
Probably.
Now, we do live in a place called Brattleboro, and what's one of the biggest events of the year?
The Strolling of the Heifers.
It's called the Strolling of the Heifers.
Mm-hmm.
And who is going to be on a float in the Strolling of the Heifers parade this year?
Are you
going to
be on a float?
Yes.
That's so awesome.
I'm on the Brattleboro Select Board. And
nice.
I think we're on the float with all the Holstein family.
That's excellent.
Of cows.
So you will see many Holsteins.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Jody and I live. So that's one group of parents who are upset.
Okay.
Another group of parents, also in San Francisco, I'm realizing. It's all going down in the San Fran. Have you been to San Francisco?
I have.
Very enjoyable.
Very, yes.
Very,
I had a really good time.
Very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. A measure proposed by State Senator Mark D. Leno of San Francisco would require new social science textbooks to include a study of the role and contribution of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. Unsurprisingly, There are some parents who are not happy about that. Craig DeLuce, a parent and Sacramento school board member, said, quote, "It is, in fact, legislating morality. It is requiring taxpayers to foot the bill." Are you sighing over there?
Yeah, I'm sighing. Sorry.
"It is requiring taxpayers to foot the bill to promote a lifestyle to which they may or may not be morally opposed. If implemented, the measure, which would revise social science textbooks, could have effects beyond California. The state is a major purchaser of educational texts, and publishers often produce books tailored to California that other states use as well." So you're sighing because you're thinking this absolutely should not be in textbooks. It's inappropriate. People are not ready for it, and it's legislating morality.
Flip that, and then, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Holsteins.
Holsteins.
Yeah. I've learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot tonight. So that's going down in the California. Virginia Strom Martin, who is a lobbyist in one district, said, quote, "We are trying to provide for those students that feel disenfranchised some role models." I do love that quote.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
I don't know if you heard, but Japanese earthquakes and tsunami, gay people.
Right, yeah, all caused by.
All caused by the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, not so good. Another youth story. Oh, my. Okay. Fascinated to get your take on this
one.
Yeah,
okay.
A California appeals court. It's all going down in California. A California appeals court upheld the firing of a San Diego. So it's not just in San Francisco.
Okay, okay.
Of a San Diego teacher who posted an ad on Craigslist with naked pictures of himself in the site's Men Seeking Men section. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Fourth District Court of Appeals overturned a decision by the Commission on Professional Competence that the San Diego Unified School District didn't have sufficient reason to fire this gentleman. The appeals court sided with the school district, saying his behavior fit the education's code definition of, quote, immoral conduct. In his ad, he posted a naked photo, multiple naked photos of himself and a graphic description of the types of activities he enjoys in the bedroom. He did not list his name, nor the name of the school.
Okay. I personally think that that is inappropriate for him to do as a professional.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that. I certainly wouldn't do that. Working with youth, the off chance that one of your kids, being curious, being whatever, sees that, or parents seeing that, and the freak out level that could occur, I simply don't think that that's a safe way of doing it. If you want to do that in a place that's not as public as Craigslist,
right,
I would say go for it. Do what you're going to do, because it's your private life.
Huh.
However, I personally think that that is not, I wouldn't do that.
So the question is, and it was asked in the comments section, because you know, it's all going down in the comments section.
Right, right. Of course.
Would he have been fired if he was in the Men Seeking Women post area of Craigslist?
I think it kind of depends.
Yeah.
I think it depends on.
Would it still have been classified as immoral conduct?
I personally would feel the same way about any teacher, any person who works with youth doing that. I feel it's inappropriate. I don't care what their orientation or gender is. I think it's inappropriate if you work with youth, because kids are everywhere.
Yeah.
You need to be careful about your presence online, what you put up there, because you are a role model.
Yeah, but kids can't get by parental controls on computers and get to these sites.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as Holstein cows either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We're in agreement.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to do more sad news. I want
Is there sad news?
Oh, there's so much more. Happy story. Chicago has a second openly gay city council member after James Kappelman won his runoff election yesterday. Kappelman is a social worker and a community activist. He defeated Molly Phelan by 55% to 45% in the runoff, which was necessary because no candidate in their ward received a majority of the vote in the February 22nd election. The Windy City Times reported that some of the campaign materials distributed by his opponent, Phelan, were perceived as homophobic. So you tell me if you perceive these as homophobic.
Okay.
One flyer claimed that Kappelman would address crime in the ward through, quote, anger management classes and flowers.
Ooh.
Plus, he would address it through, quote, planters, public art, decorative pedestrian light posts, and streetscaping.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just saying he's artsy. I don't get the homophobic piece.
Yeah.
Anger management and flowers.
Why is anger management gay?
I kind of want the subtitle of This Show Is So Gay. I want it to be This Show Is So Gay, : anger management, classes, and flowers. I don't know why. Or This Show Is So Gay, : planters, public art, decorative pedestrian light posts, and streetscaping. It's a metaphor.
It sounds like we're the very decorative and quote-unquote gay city planners.
I think I am one. But yes, so he won 55% to 45%. And obviously that's a big city, so that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
That's a really good thing.
Yeah.
I ran out of happy stories. That was pretty much it.
Oh.
Although that Judge Vaughn, I don't know. It's on the front page of advocate.com right now that Judge Vaughn, who was the judge in the Prop 8 case, came out. But that was always, I thought, a piece of the puzzle. People were saying it was inappropriate that he be the judge on this case because he's gay and he refused to comment on his sexual orientation. Mm. And now he's right there on the front page saying, I'm gay. Mm-hmm. He ruled that California's Prop 8 is unconstitutional. And he said that he never considered his own sexual orientation as a reason to recuse himself from the case. People were saying left, right, up and down.
Right.
He needs to recuse himself, which was ridiculous.
Yes.
You know, so someone, a judge who's married, needs to recuse themselves from, you know, it's just silly. So, but so that's good. So he came out and he waited to come out. Country star Shelley Wright, she got engaged, so that's pretty cool. I'm trying to come up with happy stories to avoid to avoid the hate crime stories that are coming up in a couple of seconds. I know. Well, the college, you know, I this is going to come out a little weird, but I enjoy covering the college hate crime stories because I think it's just so super important that we raise the awareness that colleges are not all havens.
Oh,
even
yes.
Really unbelievably fantastic Swarthmore, which is a great school. And I've recommended Swarthmore to other people should they choose not to go to Marlboro College, which they should.
Mm-hmm.
Jody Clark, class of 95.
Yep.
That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an anti-gay attack at Swarthmore. Swarthmore's right outside Philly. Police are investigating an anti-gay attack on two men that occurred on the campus this past Sunday. It reported that the campus community was informed about the attack in a letter from the dean of students, my counterpart Elizabeth Braun, yesterday. An unidentified student and his friend were attacked by high school age students on a field when they were being affectionate with one another. The student reported that he and his friend were punched and knocked to the ground. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Now, there's Swarthmore. Do you know, I actually was the keynote speaker for Coming Out Month at Swarthmore in 2006, 2007, somewhere in there. And I did a presentation called Coming Out Smiling. It was really nice.
Yeah.
And it was a great audience. And they had great questions. And it was just me doing stand-up comedy about my coming out experience and how my grandmother responded. And Swarthmore, incredible school that has, I don't know if they have an LGBT director, but they certainly have an unbelievable multicultural center. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're bringing in speakers and they have a Gay Pride Month.
Right.
Really big deal, but not immune. Not immune. You got to place these campuses in their wider context of these communities.
Right.
And unfortunately, we don't always have control. And
and
some of these colleges, Swarthmore doesn't have the walls. I mean, Marlboro College doesn't have the walls, but people aren't just randomly wandering through.
Right.
So,
right.
So it's really important that as we look at colleges, that we not go with the assumption that all is liberal, all is well, because, they need protections as well. We gotta keep paying attention to these stories, lest there be more earthquakes and tsunamis, which I'm certainly not making light of. But the fact that this woman says stuff like this, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, stroll on over to theshowisogay.com. We have a number of amazing guests coming up, including one of my favorite singer-songwriters in the whole wide world, Zoe Lewis, who is going to be on the May 4th show. And you will be here.
I will be here.
You are going to love talking to her. I'm so excited. Hey, who are you seeing this weekend?
You mean Friday?
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing Girly Man.
Love Girly Man.
Yeah.
Girly Man's gotten a lot of play on this show. Hey, do you know we've never played this before? I can't believe I've never played this before.
Ooh.
And Lord knows that folks are saying this is the gay anthem right now. Enjoy a little Lady Gaga singing Born This Way, and then we'll cue up a guest.
It doesn't matter if you love him. Or capital H-I-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M- put your paws up, cause you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends, so we can rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not a sin, believe capital H.
All right, I'm thinking it's time to welcome a guest. How do you feel about that, Jody?
I feel really good about that.
Hey, guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I am.
This is a good thing. Let me introduce you. Jeremy Manning is a certified personal trainer who owns and operates the J-Train LA Gym in Los Angeles. He is a U.S. Army veteran as well as a two-time international bronze medalist in Taekwondo, which means don't mess with him. He has created a community outreach project called Uplift. Project Uplift's mission is to provide attainable and sustainable fitness programs to survivors of physical and substance abuse, as well as those living with HIV. So freaking cool. Jeremy Manning, welcome to this show, Is So Gay.
Hi, thank you.
Say hi to Jody.
Hi, Jody.
Hello.
Jeremy, you're doing some cool stuff. We have tons to talk about. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So go in. We'll do a little Jeremy Manning. This is your life. We'll take you back a little bit. So you grew up in Flint, Michigan, did you not?
That's correct.
So known, you know, definitely known, and Michael Moore drew a lot of attention to it, known as being a failing industrial city. And you said in one quote about your upbringing there, quote, "I know what it feels like to be deprived of basic things. I know what it's like to feel defeated every single day, but I also know what it's like to overcome, to refuse to give up, and to use fitness to develop the strength to fight." So growing up there in Flint and encountering adversity, where did you find that strength?
I think initially it was from my mom.
Nice.
And she, no matter what happened, was happening economically or in our environment, she was always encouraging me to be strong and to be whoever I wanted to be in life, and always kind of stood up with the idea that she just wouldn't accept me allowing defeat. She wouldn't accept defeat for me or for the family, and I really just drew a lot of inspiration from her. She recently passed away, and it completely changed me from that point on. It's really fueled me to create the project and to really push my life to the next level and to help other people get that sort of inspiration and strength.
Love your mom. Wow, she sounds like she really pushed what was important there.
Absolutely.
Nice. And so then, at some point, you made the decision to serve in the U.S. Armed Forces.
I did.
What was? How did that trajectory come about?
Well, initially, and this is kind of a funny story, but back then I smoked a pack a day of cigarettes, and I figured I needed a good disciplined environment to help me stop smoking and to think about the Army. And I mean, the big picture reason was it was an opportunity to get out of Flint, Michigan, and to get some structure and some discipline, and you know, just to learn to be a stronger individual.
Now, you of course know that there are loads of other smoking cessation programs out there.
There are, certainly. But none of them offered, you know, opportunities to get out of Flint, Michigan. So
I gotcha. I love that that's how the Army is going to, that's going to be their new tagline. Join the Army, quit smoking, get out of Flint. I think that might be very effective. I do not know. And then, I'm sure I'm skipping things, Jeremy. I'm sure there were many things you did in between. I'm just hitting some highlights for us. You made the decision at one point to become a personal trainer.
Yep.
What led you to that?
Basically, I started working out a bit and started to develop a couple of injuries. And so I started to kind of pay attention to the proper execution of these exercises and started to really follow the whole the training education at that point. And it wasn't until I met someone, and a friend of mine, who is HIV positive, and he kind of came to me as I was studying. It was kind of one of those serendipitous things. I was studying to be a trainer, and I was kind of really doubting myself, really wasn't ready to take the step. And he came to me and asked me for some help because he knew that I was avid in fitness. He told me that he was, you know, he's about to hit 50 years old. He was going to do his last hula show, which at the time I thought was just, you know, hip sway. And but it turns out it's a whole lot more than that. So, you know, he told me that he needed my help, and I took it as an opportunity to practice my training, but also to try and help someone who needed it. And we worked out for 3 months. I went to his show. You're still expecting a little hip sway and hand movement, and that was about it. And I'm sitting in a row with his very close friends and some family, and the ladies come out and they do their thing, and I start to see the intricacies of the actual dance. And the men come out, and I hadn't really even noticed it until this point, but as these five men come walking out, one of my friends, or my friend, is the third one in the row, and just absolutely best looking one in the group, best body.
Nice.
So I had an opportunity to kind of see my work coming out on stage, and I had a moment of just feeling a little bit superficial in the sense that, oh, this is my sculpture. But then there was a moment when I looked from side to side and I saw the expressions on everyone's face, and I heard the noises that his family made in appreciation of the fact that he looked healthy and strong, and he wasn't sick anymore, or didn't appear to be sick anymore. And it changed me from that point on. I decided that I wanted to continue to chase people's lives in that way.
Wow.
So what is healthy to you?
Healthy to me, I think, is first of all, it's consistency. And it's realizing that working out or whatever sort of activity, be it sports or the gym, those are opportunities for you to communicate with your body, with you to have that physical and mental and in some senses a spiritual communication. And it's an opportunity to, for me, and what I try to instill in my clients is it's an opportunity to escape everything else around you, to take that moment to just communicate with yourself, and to learn to build yourself up in whichever ways suits you.
When does it cross the line? You know, we've actually talked quite a bit on this show before about the various issues connecting gay men and lesbians to body image issues, and when to you does it cross the line to, okay, you're going too hard at the gym, you're taking this too far?
I think it can cross the line quickly. Some individuals will come in and they have what I notice more often than not are just unrealistic expectations. I get a lot of friends who will call me 2 days before their beach party and they want to lose 10 pounds. And so, you know, some friends that will go into the gym and they want to get big fast. so they lift too much too soon, they hurt themselves, and they push through the pain. And that starts to really develop outside of the gym in terms of their eating habits, their social habits. You know, so it can happen quickly. It can go too far, or in some instances, individuals will, you know, in longer periods of time, they'll start to develop bad habits like poor technique, or you know, same thing that you can later on develop unrealistic expectations, or just start to, it becomes an addiction, yeah, like anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always try to remind people, everything in moderation, even moderation.
Nice. Mm. Nice. Now, have you noticed, because you've worked with, I would assume, a ton and ton of clients, have you noticed anything different in training gay and lesbian clients?
Well, the stereotypes, which is kind of funny, is in training gay and lesbian clients, your initial perception of stereotypes are more frequently challenged, I think, because there aren't, the gender roles aren't defined as clearly.
Okay.
So it's really not as easy to simply say you expect men to be masculine and women to be feminine, because that's no longer the case.
Right.
So, you know, it just comes from all angles. It could be an instance when someone that I may think is gonna be a challenge to train turns out to be very motivated and impact me in a positive way and actually inspires me when I thought it would be a difficult situation for me to inspire them.
Gotcha.
You know, so just it just feels like I never know what to expect. You can't, and I can't look at someone coming through the door and know what's going to happen.
So Ken mentioned in your introduction your project Uplift. What was the inspiration for that program?
Well, I initially when I came, I went to Michigan for the funeral, and when I came back, I've always encountered these instances where it's someone needs my help. They want, they desire change in their life, and they just can't afford it for whatever reason. It's not a low cost industry. When it continues to happen over and over, and I see these opportunities to help people, and I had to come up with a way that I could make myself and potentially other fitness professionals available. And I can see in the opportunities that I do have with clients. I've had one who was a younger client who came to me recently, somewhat overweight, very quiet, always looking down, very sullen, very introverted. And within 6 months, he lost, 15 or 20 pounds. His body completely changed. Mm. His personality completely changed.
Wow.
Now I can't get him to stop talking. He's always laughing. He's always energetic. And combined with kind of this, the emotional experience of dealing with losing my mom, I just kind of realized that this is an opportunity for me, kind of coming from a situation where I'm dealing with death, to bring people back to life.
Mm. That's
fantastic. And so I had to kind of decide, how am I going to be able to do that in a more effective way? And first and foremost is to just offer my services to people who need it, and make it affordable and attainable and sustainable.
Now, do you have a different style with these clients than you do with your other clients?
Yes. These clients typically get more homework.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
What does homework from Jeremy Manning look like?
It could be pretty simple. As simple as, I want you to bring me back a list of 10 reasons why you hate coming to see me.
Nice.
And then as soon as they bring that, then the next 10 reasons are why. Actually, no, I changed that up recently. I want you to give me as many reasons you can think of why you hate coming to see me. And then as soon as they bring that, it's as many reasons you can think of why it's a good thing to come see me. And first of all, there's the obvious experience of writing those things out, but 9 times out of 10, the list of reasons why it's a good thing is a lot longer than the reasons why they...
Oh, yay.
That's good.
So it becomes... I try to create some models that are just getting them to realize and change their way of thinking about it being a chore or a physical activity that they don't want to do, and then really start to kind of mold that around their own perception about themselves, so they can get to see that it's not just, you're not just coming here to lose weight to look better. You're feeling better. It's not just changing your physique, it's changing your life. It's making you stronger, lifting those weights, it's making you stronger dealing with your boss, whatever the case may be.
Give us a Project Uplift highlight for you. Tell us a story about, oh my gosh, am I doing the right thing right now?
I think I've worked with a couple of clients recently who are both HIV positive, and they were kind of the the first two clients were, they came to me and they wanted my help, and I had to find a way. And that was where we just kind of talked about what they could afford and how we could, you know, make it work for them. And it's the same thing as with my younger client. They come to me and they're sad, or maybe it's not that obvious, but they're unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Their body isn't the way they want it to be. You can, and the thing about me, I mean, it's clear to everyone, but it's, I think, a little bit more obvious to fitness professionals, that you can see what a person feels like by the way they look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I guess that's a little more obvious than I realize. But so when I'm talking to somebody, for me, I don't look at their weight or their physique in that sense. What I'm looking at is their posture.
Mm-hmm.
So their shoulders are drooping, their head's a little low, than it, you know, and there's certain things about their posture that communicates to me how they feel about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when I'm able to meet these individuals and work with them, and I start to see, well, you know, one of my HIV positive clients, the first thing I told him, 5 pounds lighter, 5 years younger.
Yeah.
Stand up straight. Mm-hmm. Put your shoulders, you know, shoulder blades in your back pocket, stand up straight, look people in the eye, you look 5 years younger, 5 pounds lighter.
Oh, man.
Or whatever the case may be.
You are, you know? I mean, you're adding fulfilled years to these folks' lives.
Definitely.
That's fantastic. Now, are you one of these yelling trainers?
If I am, it's I'm yelling and laughing.
So I can be
motivating, but no, I don't scream at people's face. I like to have fun, get them laughing. Laughing burns calories. Might as well do it often.
Definitely.
So I've definitely learned through my experience in the military and martial arts, and being a not really appreciating being told what to do. I learned a build up without the breakdown approach.
Yep. I'm really nervous that you have a client coming to you saying, "Oh gosh, I wish I could quit smoking. What should I do?" And that you're saying, "Oh well, I know this great little program that you can go through to get healthier." And
well, you know,
see you later.
What works for me, you may not work for everyone else. So.
Well, we want free training tips. I mean, you're on the air. We're not, you know, look, good luck sending us a bill for this one, Jeremy. we're in a rut. We're in a rut. We have this gym routine down, but it's just not exciting anymore. How the heck do we get out of this rut?
You got to get up and move, change it up,
do something
different. You know, the first most important rule to a fitness program is it's got to be constantly changing.
Hmm.
You know, it's like if you're driving to work every day, you take the same exact route before we had GPS and printable maps and all that. You know, initially when you went, that first time you took the route, you had to pay attention, you had to get directions, you had to read the directions, your brain was stimulated during that entire process. But after you do the same thing every day, you start to fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
Hmm. So the first thing you want to do in order to wake yourself up is to change the route. Do something different.
Okay. I got to switch things up. I'm in a rut, Jody. I'm in a rut. I got to
do something else.
Now,
do something
now,
different.
Jeremy, my partner has said that apparently it's important to eat as part of your workout regimen. And I said, well, surely that's not true. I'm going to check with Jeremy. Jeremy, food important?
Food, you know, funny thing is, it is important.
Huh.
It's one of the bigger challenges that we all face. It's actually between 60 and 80% of your fitness program results are going to come from your nutrition.
Oh, Jeremy, he's listening right now, and he's going to be incorrigible now that you put that out there. All right. So food is important.
Food is important.
Okay.
And water also. Funny mm-hmm. thing.
All right. You're killing me.
Body's 70% water, so it's good to drink.
I thought dehydration is really the way to a svelte new figure. All right. Apparently not. All right, Jeremy,
a lot of people think dehydration and starvation are the way to a good body. And funny enough, eating 6 meals a day and drinking a lot of water is the right way to go.
Okay. Because I don't want to do, I saw a picture of you doing the thing with the ropes in both hands. I have no desire to do that. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, that's because you're not here with me. I will give you the desire.
All right.
What are the gifts I offer?
Look at that. And sliding rates. This is good. All right, we got to talk to you about your musical selections for this evening. You ready?
Okay.
Now, Jeremy, this is the part of the show where you tell our listening audience what some of your musical selections say about Jeremy Manning. You're going to do a little psychoanalysis of yourself. And as a personal trainer, we expect great things from you having insight into yourself. Are you ready?
All right.
I know.
The pressure is off.
It's on. the first song we played was Quicksand. What does Quicksand say about Jeremy?
You know, sometimes, honestly, it's nice to just be superficial and not have a reason other than it makes me like to dance and move my body and sweat and get in the groove. So,
so Jeremy likes sometimes to get in the groove.
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. And then we played, and this is oddly, I said this before, this is oddly the first time we've ever played this song on our show. So I can't believe it took this long. What does Lady Gaga's Born This Way say about Jeremy?
Well, I think it speaks for itself, and I mean, you're born the way that you are, and the first, one of the things that I like to remind people is that we're all given different strengths, and the challenge comes in finding the strength, or finding the gift, and being born this way, it's accepting who you are, or, you know, maybe you're not going to get as tall as you want, or maybe you're not going to get as muscular, or maybe you're not going to get as thin as that person in the magazine that you want to be like.
Mm-hmm.
It's accepting who you are, and learning to love who you are and become the best person that you can be and just accepting that you're born this way.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm only going to make you do one more. You're doing very well. One more. I love this song. What does J-Lo's On the Floor say about Jeremy Manning? What's Jeremy Manning doing on the floor?
You know, that's one of those songs that just gives me a little bit of diva attitude, I got to say. It's nice to be sassy sometimes and feel sexy and do whatever you got to do to feel that way, and then go out and enjoy it.
On
the dance floor, you know, it's on the gym floor, it's on your living room floor, wherever you want to go and do it.
Nice. Because I think people would assume, oh, well, gosh, he's a personal trainer. He's in peak physical condition. He never has a minute where he feels unsexy.
Well, that's definitely not true. So, it's nice. The difference, I think, between an individual who pushes to be in an elevated sense of self is that we find ways to get there. It's not that we're always there. It's that we find ways to get there through music, through dance, through exercise, through friendships, through communication, whatever the case may be. You know, it's like one time I read something about intelligence is the ability to make everyone else feel smart.
Oh, there you go. It could be through a gay radio show. That might be your method.
There you go.
All right. Now, where can folks go to learn more about you, about Project Uplift?
Right now, you can go to my website. It's www.jtrainla.com. Or you can come see me at Elevation Fitness on Santa Monica Boulevard in La Cienega. And on May 19th, we're going to be doing our first fundraising event at Isla Cantina. It's on the corner of Holloway and Sunset. It's May 19th between 8 and 10.
Yay!
So we're going to have some people, some fun people there, some people from Age Project LA. We're going to be doing a raffle to raffle off some training sessions, some Pilates and massage. That money from the raffle is going to be donated to Age Project LA. And we're going to have some fun, some food, some drinks, all kinds of stuff.
You want to do road trip, Jody?
I would love to.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, now this is a bit of a surprise to you, so I'm gonna surprise you a little. I actually spoke to someone you work with. His name is Isaac. Do you know Isaac?
I do know Isaac.
Now, because I got in touch with him when we were trying to get in touch with you, and so I said, you know, Isaac, as long as I have you on the phone, what do you think of Jeremy Manning? And what do you think Isaac said, Jeremy? One word. He gave one word.
Awesome.
Jeremy, he gave the word perfection.
Wow.
Look at that. Perfection. Wow. Good luck with that tomorrow. That is fantastic. Well, Jeremy, I have to tell you, I love having you on the show because you are using your skills. You are using your career to make a difference. You know, we tell people, oh, use your voice and get out there. And I think folks sometimes hear that and say, well, I just got to do something completely different and something outside of my comfort zone. And that's how I'm going to shake things up and make a difference. And what you are doing is saying, look, this is my profession. This is what I do. This is what I'm good at. I am going to use this to make people healthier, to prolong their lives, to make them more fulfilled. And I think that is such a hugely important message for all of our listeners to know, look, whatever it is that you're doing right now, there is a way you can use that to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, Jeremy, an absolute pleasure. You're going to keep doing what you're doing?
Absolutely.
What can we do for our obliques?
Bicycle crunches all day long.
All right.
Oh, and try and eat less fat and drink less alcohol.
All right. Thanks for being on the show, Jeremy. No, I do. And apparently drink some water. Jeremy, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
All the best. Thank you. Jeremy Manning.
He's awesome.
Using your skills.
Yep.
I love that. I love, look, we can have singer-songwriters on. I love having our singer-songwriters
on. They're great.
I love having our comedians. I love having everybody on. But it's so important that people hear from folks that are using their skills to make a difference.
Absolutely.
Very good stuff. We actually have time for one more story. And it's just kind of an interesting one. It's not a happy one. I'm not ending on a happy note. I'm sorry.
All right.
But it's just something to think about that we don't often think about. And Jeremy was talking a little bit about working with someone who's 60 years old. And what is being reported now is that LGBT elders are fearing discrimination. And this is so, things like this are so important to highlight because our mind just doesn't go there right away.
Yep.
A majority of respondents who answered a national online survey believe that staff of long-term care facilities would discriminate against them if they were open about their sexual or gender orientation. This is from a new report from the National Senior Citizens Law Center. The responders included LGBT elders, family members of LGBT folks, social service providers, and legal service providers. And so the report called LGBT Older Adults in Long-Term Care Facilities, Stories from the Field. It analyzed survey results that told stories of abuse and neglect. I know I'm not ending on a happy note, but I just think things like this are so important to shine the light on because we don't think about these things.
Right.
So are we training these care folks in long-term facilities to work with LGBT elders, to not, you know, freak out? God, I would hope no one freaks out when you hear that you're gay, but we just talked about all the other stories at the time.
Right,
the
where
show,
people were so freaking out.
We kind of live there in that society. So, you know, this was a quote from Michael Adams, the executive director of SAGE, which is an incredible organization working with LGBT elders. LGBT older adults often fear that they will encounter providers who might be uncomfortable with or even hostile towards them, untrained to work with them, or unaware that they even exist. Even when providers are supportive, fear of discrimination keeps many LGBT elders in the closet and prevents them from seeking the care they need. End quote. It's that people are actually out of the closet for their whole life and then go back into the closet when they go into, it's crazy. Raise awareness about this, folks. You need to raise awareness about this. I wrote a letter to the editor yesterday about, I was railing, it sounds really weird. There was on Monday in the paper, I don't know if you know, they have Your Thanks. That's edit page. Letters are all people thanking other people. And one of the letters was thanking the Bellows Falls community, great community, a little bit up north.
Yep.
Is it north?
Yes.
Good. Thanking the Bellows Falls community a little bit up north for participating in a blood drive. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote this letter saying this, that the thanks made me sad, not because blood drives aren't fantastic and this community didn't turn out for it, but because I am still barred from giving blood. And I say this now because, again, what can you do, folks out there, to raise awareness about things that folks don't know about? I still am floored every time someone says, what are you talking about? You can't give blood. Can't give blood.
My two of my students gave blood recently. And when they went through the interview process, because they'd never given before. And they were really shocked. They didn't know that was the case. And it's crazy. Were like, how is that still the case?
How is that still legal?
Yeah.
It's legal. All right. Well, we got to get out of here. So get out there, loyal listeners. Tell someone about the show, because that's fun too. Stroll on over to This Show Is So Gay to learn about Jody, learn about Ken, learn about all of our other hosts, learn about upcoming shows. Send an email to thisshowissogay@aol.com. I actually got an email while we were on the air chastising me from a certain person who I live with about not knowing about Holstein cows. Whatever. And, of course, strolling over to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay. Like our page, because we sure as heck like you. We got a jet. Raise awareness. Get out there. Do incredible things. And remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be so gay? J-Lo, ya tú sabes, no hay más nada. It's a new generation. Mr. Worldwide. Of party people. Get on the floor, dale. Get on the floor. Red one. Let me introduce you to my party people in the club. I'm
train. Baby, it's the truth, the truth. I'm like Inception. I play with your brains. So I don't sleep or snooze, snooze. I don't play no games. So don't get it confused. No, cause you will lose. Yeah. Now pump it up and back it up like a Tonka truck. Dally.
If you go hard, you gotta get on the floor. If you're a party freak, then step on the floor. If you're an animal, then tear up the floor. Break the sweat on the floor. Yeah, we work on the floor. Don't stop, keep it moving, put your drinks up. Pick your body up and drop it on the floor. Let the rhythm change your world on the floor. You know we're running shit tonight on the floor.
Brazil, Morocco, London to Ibiza. Straight to LA, New York, Vegas to Africa.
To Africa.